Welcome to our Paranormal Gateway Spirit Talk. I am Scott Wise, and tonight's special guest are Darkly Obscured Paranormal Investigation. Darkly Obscured Paranormal Investigation is a non-profit organization in the St. Louis and Kansas areas. They are dedicated to scientific investigation of ghosts, cryptid hauntings, poltergeists, and other paranormal phenomena. They provide a chance for people who have encountered spirits, ghosts, or other unexplained activity to help and get better understanding, as well as helping those who have special gifts when dealing with the paranormal and metaphysical realm. They work with communities to bring awareness and education. The team members are Natalie, Justin, Jaden, Tyler, Kelly, and Sue. So without further ado, let's welcome Darkly Obscured Paranormal Investigation to the show. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hello. How's it going?
It's going pretty good.
So I know we got one other joining us. I don't know about the other two.
Okay.
So we'll see.
So I can myself with you still. You want to, now that you want to start being, talk about how you're interested in paranormal.
Sure.
The experience you had, or?
Okay. Yeah, so I got kind of a unique start. I've always been fascinated with the paranormal, always going to places. I grew up in Springfield, Missouri, so the Joplin Spooklight was a big one, the albino farm. They have a battlefield there just outside Springfield, Wilson's Creek. So I spent a lot of time around these locations. I've always had specific abilities, being a strong intuitive, clairvoyant, clairaudient, things like that. And as I got older, they started becoming more intense. So when I moved to St. Louis, I was about 10 or 11, we had a paranormal team that was, it was my family that had it. So at a young age, I was already being exposed to that. I was already interested in the paranormal. And I was able to start learning kind of everything backwards because I couldn't technically and legally go on investigations or home visits. I did a lot of the back leg work. I helped with building the website. I listened and reviewed audio and camera footage. I would do interviews. I'd make phone calls. Pretty much everything but the investigation until I got older, which actually really helped for when I ended up branching out because I already had all that experience. So when I hit the field, I knew what I was doing. I knew how to operate the equipment. I knew what I was looking for. And I've been hooked ever since, and now I have my team.
Well, got bit by the good time bug. So, Tyler, you brought in the time. You will get next. Plan on getting into the paranormal.
I honestly can barely hear you. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know if it's a mic or not, but you want to tell us how you got into the paranormal?
Honestly, it's always been an interest of mine. And while being friends with Natalie there, it's kind of hard not to get roped into things when you're interested in them.
She kind of roped off on you.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Just a little bit. Yeah, she's been one of our newer, I wouldn't say newer members. She's kind of been there since the beginning. But she's definitely been learning along the way, getting more experience hands-on. Tyler's got some abilities of her own.
Sounds like she has that future ghost hunter behind her there.
Sorry,
I'm making noise. It's Justin, you're up.
I've always.
Yes, yeah.
Hi, son.
Hi, handsome.
Somebody sounds like getting in there. Yeah, it's spaghettis.
I've always been a big mythology buff. Doesn't matter what culture, always loved it. the creatures fascinated me, all the different, the rites and everything that different cultures have performed. Just been a huge fascination for me. And it was, what, Natalie, like 2012, 11 when we met?
Yeah, something like that.
And then, honestly, it was hilarious. It started, our friendship started with a card game. And then it slowly progressed into what she was doing, and then all the knowledge that I had that seemed to slot in just right.
Oh, that's kind of weird segue there.
Yep. Instantly became friends.
Yeah, it was, that's awesome.
It was a good time, and then I ended up leaving, joining the military, and by the time I got back, she was like, "I'm starting this." I was like, "Deal. Why not?" I'm excited.
Did you go overseas at all?
Yes. I've been to Japan twice, Hong Kong, the Middle East. I've been to Ireland, England. I've been kind of all over the planet.
Any experiences there?
No real surprises that I've seen. The cultures were fantastic. Yeah. Japan and Ireland, especially for me. If I could go back, I'd go back in a heartbeat. It was so much fun. People were super nice, very respectful. Especially in Japan, the older stuff from their culture that you can see there, amazing. Ireland, all the castles and old places of power, like the fairy circles and stuff like that, absolutely amazing. I recommend going if you get the chance.
The residual energy alone would be just phenomenal to experience.
It is. And especially when you think about most of the structures back then were on ley lines.
Mm-hmm.
And it holds an immense amount of energy, and it's fantastic to be around. And especially a lot of those older places that are on the ley lines don't have any real modern technology in them at all.
Yep.
Other than gates, like iron gates.
He agrees.
Right, yeah. Good job, son.
He's trying to look at the phone right now because he hears you.
I started a podcast called Paranormal Passages. I just do a text award because my speech is a little bit of my disease. I start with a little bit. Talking to myself. I did one of them go like around the world, and I did castles over in Ireland, Scotland, all the areas over there. It is, I would love to go there. But, yeah. I start back, oh god, I'm going to think of myself here. Sorry, guys. But, in the mid 80s, I was just graduating high school, and I started to get. To high school, the libraries back then, you had to, you might know what the Dewey Decimal System is, do you?
Yes.
Do you? Really?
Oh, we do.
Oh, yeah.
We're not that young.
But, yeah, well, I graduated high school at 86, so I'm old. But, anyways, back then, I got, there were a lot of books on the occult. Back then, it was, they didn't believe it as much, and that wasn't, we had no computers back in the early 80s, really.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the first one was like in, I was in junior high. They had the Texas Instruments computer, and I got that, but laptops didn't start not way too long ago.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was first getting Saturday DVR systems, I used the VCR tapes.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had the cameras hooked up to them. But that was pain in the ass for you. Because you had to stop and I think picture the screen or something, or mm-hmm. saw something. Because then you couldn't just cut it out and paste it somewhere right. else and stuff. Yeah.
But that was also kind of a nice part versus our technology that we have now. You're able to Photoshop and edit everything so much that it's really hard to tell what is legit and what is
not. Don't get me started on that, because ever since Rural South came out, that's just fucked everybody who was trying to get stuff done.
Right.
And yeah, and like, I saw one, this is all supposed to be a guy that goes in the cemetery and lays yours. And like that's the Bastard Grove Cemetery ghost picture. That's been asking it, what, in the 30s or something?
I still like using Polaroids.
Well, the actual date, don't quote me a date, but a picture of that, like, what the hell? So,
We definitely like to use a lot of old school equipment, so to speak. We do have some newer, modern pieces, but we really try to avoid all the editing and stuff like that. Like when we post our videos, I'm not experienced enough to try and sit there and create a TV show out of an entire investigation. It's not going to happen. So you're going to get the raw footage from beginning to end.
Right.
Let's face it. If we did a TV show or anything of one of our investigations, it would be more of a comedy than anything.
It would be, for me, it'd be a bunch of boozers.
Yeah, it really, people think of, the paranormal, they think of like Zach Bagans and ghost hunters and all of that. And the activity that they're getting is just like back to back to back, which sets a standard that people, when they go on these tours or any type of investigation, that's what they're expecting. And then you get half an hour to an hour in and nothing has happened, and then they're disappointed. But what they don't realize is that those shows have been recording for days or weeks at the same location.
Hours,
I mean, that's hours of stuff. And it gets cut down for 45 minutes of TV time. There's just no way.
What? It's just we had a channel DVR set up, and I was the only one that threw it. And I have the four different recorders for digital recorders that go over 8 hours each. So every investigation, I was putting about 100 hours to go over everything and stuff. Because it's everything. So, but the first experience I had was a church in Flowertown, Pennsylvania. And the church was built back in 1818. That's how old the church was. And we had the best experiences there that I was hooked with the first one, where I myself and the one lady with me were in the kids' nursery room. There's supposed to be a ghost named Jack, whatever. And anyways, Freddie was the name. And so we did a knock on the table thing, and she says, "Can we get noise?" She can't pick the one. She said, "I can't." One of the child's voice. So that was the very first GP I got, probably one of the best ones I've ever had. So I was hooked for that. So after that, I actually got a normal group probably back in, back in 2010, I think, till we got serious and going out. But it's been like that long.
I've grown up around it. I mean, we had a spirit in my childhood home, which my grandparents still live in. His name is George. He still makes an appearance every once in a while. But he was really, as a kid, he was really drawn to me, and I didn't fully understand at the time of what I was experiencing and who I was talking to. But it was never malevolent. It was never, any form of danger. It was more just curiosity than anything. But I didn't have my most compelling, like, I am 100% believer. And we'll talk about this place a lot until we went to Valles Mines, Lost History Museum. Yeah, and they laugh because this place has never failed. But I witnessed my first full body in person apparition, and got maybe a few yards out from me before turning and running, and yeah, fight or flight kicked in. But see this full body apparition walking towards you for the first time, it's an experience that I will never forget. I've had an axe thrown at me. We'll go into details. This is all at the same location. We've had an axe head thrown at me. I've had chairs lift off the door. They're like those old heavy metal ones and get me on the back of my heels. I've had rocks, large rocks, slide off shelves and get me on the back of the leg.
What the hell would you piss your feet off?
There's a male there. We're pretty sure he's the owner. Ran this place. He wasn't a very nice man, especially towards women. He was very handsy. And men, you were screwed the moment you stepped foot on the property. He was not happy whatsoever. He actually, Justin and Tyler had an experience, which you guys can, explain.
Yeah, he was not happy with me.
No, he was not happy.
But I was never targeted either, so...
No, you were, just through me.
You were.
So, Tyler was affected. She couldn't move, she completely frozen. It was just a very overwhelming presence that was very heavy. She was having a hard time communicating. But...
It was more like it felt like something completely solid and ice cold literally just stepped through my body from head to foot. And from that experience, I couldn't move. I couldn't stop shaking. I couldn't get words out.
Mm-hmm.
I had to actually get all of the team that was there that night, Justin and the former member, they literally almost had to carry me out because I couldn't put one foot in front of the other. It was not pleasant. And then I proceeded to stay in the car.
We did our saging, our cleansing. We had the whole kit out. We were ready to do what we had to do to make sure that she didn't have any spiritual attachments and that she was okay. We are really big about our med kits, which I have to look at Justin for, because having our med kits have come in handy so many times.
That the night that our sage went missing?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then it showed up in the same place we had been looking. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, sucker just disappeared and
it affected Tyler personally, but it knew that by affecting her, it was going to rile Justin up and he was going to be protected because obviously that's his wife. And that's what he wanted. That's what this spirit feeds off of,
wanted it for a second.
Yeah.
Because after it riled me up, he didn't show back up for a long time.
Yeah. So unfortunately the location has not been well maintained. It's fallen into disarray and the owners that took over. So unfortunately it was a location that I have spent all of my years investigating, going back to. But at this point, it has come to the neglect and the disrepair of the location just isn't feasible or safe for our team or any team to go back out.
When the buildings are starting to become dilapidated and... it's not even safe to go to the second level of the house anymore.
Yeah,
the bottom level of the house is just packed with stuff, debris. The floor is just completely rotted out. It's bad, and I understand that too. It takes a lot of income, a lot of money to keep that stuff up.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't get it, you don't get it. It's hard.
And unless you're a local or you hear it from us, Most people don't even know it's there, that it even exists. It's just kind of like hidden.
I didn't know. The only time I've ever heard it in passing was when people like go hunting there. Until I met Natalie and we did an investigation there. I knew it was there, and then we kept going back. Yeah, I knew it was there. I just didn't know what all. It's like Merrimack State Park. You know Merrimack. Oh,
bye, Natalie.
Welcome back.
Okay, hi.
Like, you don't know, you know about Merrimack State Park and you live in Missouri, but you don't really understand all the stuff that's in it. Most people go there to trout fish, but there's old foundries there because it was an iron processing place. There's a whole lot of old buildings and structures and stuff that is just really cool to see. But if you don't go there yourself or hear from somebody that goes all the time, you just have no clue. There's a lot of places like that around here in Missouri that have just been kind of lost.
Yep.
I was driving on a road one day, saw a fence with nothing in it until I slowed down and realized it was a graveyard that has just been overgrown. And since then, even though I've tried looking for it, I can't find it anymore. Because I was going 60 mile an hour. You know, I slowed down to probably about 50. I didn't want to slam on my brakes, but I was like, I can't tell you where it's at. It's in the middle of the woods. There's just this little clearing full of tall grass surrounded by this little chain link fence. Could never find it again. I was going to go out there with a weed eater and clean it up if I could, but I can't find it. And I was just driving, so I couldn't even tell you what little back road highway I was on. The HK, there's so many out here. Ridiculous. It's kind of sad if you think about it.
Yeah.
We've got one here right in town that is the oldest cemetery, but there is no record of it. And it's smack dab in the middle of town, but there is no record of it, no record of who's buried there, nothing. And most of the stones are completely illegible.
They're worn out. Wind, water, air.
Are any of those dual? Can you get any names off them?
No.
I figured if you get like one name and location or whatever, that you guys over here find the grave website.
So. Yeah, we've looked at all the sites. We've even contacted the Historical Society, and nobody knows anything.
Wow, that's so weird.
And it just sits there in the middle of old downtown.
And it, honestly, it was probably an old family graveyard way back in the day. And
probably.
Whenever, you know, the Industrial Revolution swept through and everything just grew around it. Mm-hmm. It wasn't touched because it was probably a graveyard, but...
Yeah.
If nobody kept track of it, the family died off. Who knows?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there are people who go out there and they mow and they maintain it, so at least it looks decent.
Right.
But it's just one of those mysteries. Like, nobody really knows anything about it.
We got tons of cemeteries, graveyards down here. All right, Dad wants to, you know, get hooked up my friend. We'll go out a little more.
Mm-hmm.
But,
yeah, this year we haven't really done a whole lot of traveling. There's just been a lot going on. Justin and Tyler had their first child just over a year now.
Yay. And,
you know, that took up a lot of time. And then while she was pregnant, she wasn't allowed to do anything.
Yeah, she wouldn't let me go to having Christina's or anything, even though I begged.
Yeah. Obviously it's a safety thing at that point.
Come on, I was only 8.5 months pregnant. Come on.
Only.
Uh-huh. It's a good thing you had that Medicaid with you.
Just in case.
Oh, I got a whole trauma kit built now.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's got everything in it.
We literally prepare for every scenario that there is.
I'm very, very big on safety.
Yeah.
The smallest thing can ruin the investigation. Like, if we decided to go to Valis Mines.
Yeah.
If we do go into the building You need to be prepared if someone breaks through the floor, if someone steps on this big old rusty nail or something. I got to make sure I am prepared for that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I do have training. I've been through multiple different kinds of training.
Yeah, several of us have medical training. Same with me. So there's definitely those of us on the team. Like, we each bring something to the team that just helps make it better. And it helps us reach more people. Like, one of the biggest things I've always said about our team is that we all come from different walks of life. We all have different belief systems. So when we are helping, our main focus is private residences. That's where we help people the most. And if they have a particular belief, then they may not be comfortable with a particular ritual or saging or anything like that. So we're able to kind of base the route and care that we're going to provide for them to help them with their situation based around what makes them most comfortable.
Yeah. And it goes beyond that too, not just religious practices, if they're Christian, pagan, atheist, doesn't matter. We did a private residence once before to where I had Natalie ask a series of questions to make sure they weren't allergic to something, if they had asthma and stuff like that. Because if, you know, they want a saging done, and if they have asthma, that could, you know, cause an asthma attack, all the smoke and whatever else. If they're allergic to certain, like a certain species of plant, maybe within the sage family, the sweetgrass family, that smoke could cause an allergic reaction.
Mm-hmm.
All that kind of stuff is taken into account whenever we go somewhere, just for safety precautions. We don't want to encumber the person we're going to, pretty much. We don't want them to come into any medical distress because of what they wanted us to do, even though they say it's okay. I veto it if they might be allergic to something, and we'll find another route. Thankfully, we have enough of a diverse background to come up with a different sort of practice or whatever they need that'll have the same similar effect.
Exactly. And we like to do our interviews beforehand. We'll do a phone interview. We'll do an in-person or video, because especially with COVID, it's a lot easier to do these video interviews. And over the years, our questions and the things that we ask beforehand, during, and after has grown. It used to be like maybe a page and a half, and I think now it's like 5 pages. Like, running back kind of thing. Like, we've become so detailed on wanting the correct information, and we've had it before where we've asked by numerous team members if they're on any medication. And every single time, every single time it was a different investigator that asked, it was a different answer.
Yeah, and
By the time that we walked into that home going, okay, this is it, she's telling one of us that, oh yeah, she has all these issues. And then the next person was, no, I don't have any of that. And then we walked into her bathroom, and her counter was just lined with medications that can cause hallucination, easily getting scratched and bleeding, things like that.
Well, my biggest problem was we had an individual we went for a private investigation for, and I asked, Natalie asked, like two other team members asked, and we got all together, she was on zero medication.
Mm-hmm.
I said, okay, let's go. Are you allergic to anything? Nope. All right. We get there, and like she was saying, we walked in the bathroom, medication everywhere. Walked into the kitchen, medication everywhere. You know, everything from your basic over-the-counter stuff to, like, inhalers and stuff. It's like, we can't do what we normally do here because they weren't honest. If they were honest, I would have been able to plan for something else.
Mm-hmm.
Come to find out that within this home, there wasn't anything there, luckily enough. It was probably just caused by some of this medication, which makes sense because a lot of the side effects had, you know, the hallucination side of things, or like Natalie said, you know, thin skin, easy bleeding, easy bruising. you could scrape up against some popcorn wall and get all scratched up for no reason.
Oh, you finish your dinner. Sorry, guys.
Yeah.
But the
we have to used to do a lot of that. We first started off, and one of the ones went in and in the bedroom, they had a bong sitting there, they had a bag of weed on dresser. Like, what are you doing?
Right.
You know, turn on left to all of it. It smells so bad of weed in there. I'm like, oh my God.
That wouldn't bother me too much, but when you're on.
Honesty. That's the biggest thing.
Yes, well, if you're on some serious. But that's it. Honesty. We were in there, the guy's high and drunk. And like,
Yeah.
So we left.
Yeah, and those are the kind of situations where, you know, mental health, God, I'd say at least 80% of most of our cases are not paranormal. They're mental health in some form or another. But one thing that I've liked, because with me having joined the Warren Legacy Foundation, I've learned from them and then being able to implement certain procedures with my team to help make what we do better and offer the most to the clients that we're investigating their homes for or their businesses. And we've just been able to really narrow down that honesty, the mental health, doing a psych evaluation. If we have any concern that might be what we're dealing with. You know, those are the types of things that we've been working with the community, with the public, to help offer those services. If they are, you know, an alcoholic and are abusing them, that's causing it, trying to give them the resources, because we can't force anybody to do anything. But if we can give them the resources they need and they choose to do that, then that's great. Because most times, if not all times, the activity stops. It clears up once they stop abusing whatever substance it is that they were using.
Yeah. And it also came down to, after that one private residence, Natalie and I talked about it. It's like, if they tell us they're not on, you know, certain medications, we walk in there and we see them, we're gone.
Yep.
We're not going to entertain that. You're wasting our time. You're endangering yourself. No.
Yeah. And the time and money that we put into this, we don't get paid for it.
No.
We don't charge people, and that's one of my big pet peeves, because people will call and ask for help, and they're like, yeah, it's $150 for us to come in, and, you know, all this random stuff, and it's like, no, like, we've been nice enough that we've had clients that were like, you know, no, don't pay us, we'll be fine, you know, this is what we do, and they've ordered us pizza. And provided like food and drinks for us while we're there.
Yeah,
like,
we show up to a buffet. Like, what?
Yeah.
Hold on. You're feeding me? Deal.
One of the strangest cases we are have was, I was talking about, my background is in graphic arts.
Mm-hmm.
So I work for a big company in New York, PA. And we were like a family that everybody got along, and we go out to bars, you know, Fridays and Saturday and nights. And I got to be real good friends with one girl. We didn't, not sure, it was just friends. And her best friend, I got the word the next morning, and she said that her husband murdered her, stabbed her to death on the kitchen floor of their house. And, like, I don't know, 4 or 5 years, I can't remember how many years, but we got a call to go to the place, and we were talking about it, and asked them back around the house, and they said that a girl was murdered there, in that house. And I said her name, and that's it. We investigated the house that she had murdered in. That was weird.
Wow. Were you able to capture anything?
We got a female voice. It wasn't very clear, but we could hear a female voice a couple times. But I even asked her by name.
Mm-hmm.
And, but there wasn't.
It's situations like that I don't normally classify as being paranormal activity at all. That I just consider more residual, because usually that's what we're getting when there's large bursts of energy like that, such as traumatic murder, whatever. It just ends up recording, and that doesn't surprise me that there would be something there.
All right. Mr. Accused are residual. There we have. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, all that stuff. We are very fortunate over the years to get the stuff we got.
Yeah, I know there's also need for some caution, too. And again, I'll go back to this private residence we were going out to. It's not even only the medication stuff, but as we were going around the house doing the investigation, we found multiple books for different mythologies and monsters and creatures and specters. They've been doing all this research, and they're looking at all this stuff. And
they were looking for something, more or less.
It could have just been pareidolia, for all we know.
Yeah.
And it's just, if you're looking for an explanation, you'll end up finding one, whether it's true or not. And that's, it sucks in the long run, because
the other issue I have,
hold on,
these people, these other paranormal teams go in there and they take a bunch of pictures, take a bunch of video, and they either go, all right, we got what we need, see ya, and they don't help, or they go in and say, oh yes, there's a demon here and it wants to hurt you. And I hate that with a passion. I don't care if there is somebody spitting pea soup upside down on my ceiling. The word demon will never come out of my mouth. Maybe. Because the moment you tell a client that there is something demonic, it does not matter how much evidence or proof that you can give them to convince them otherwise.
Yeah, I just think of those angry spirits. I know I can call it that demon. I might have somebody available EVP. I was called an asshole before, and I was called a malefer before.
You called an idiot.
there was one investigation that you know, every time Justin would speak, there'd be a male voice come across, idiot, and he could be quiet for hours, and the rest of us talking, and the moment he'd say something, idiot, would pop up.
Every single time. I remember that one.
I seem to have this effect to where they really don't like me at all. Oh, what it is. They just get really mad at my presence.
Which is either a good thing or a bad thing, because they either make themselves known or they don't.
If I show up, there's a coin toss whether there's a lot of activity or absolutely nothing.
So normally we kick them outside or somewhere other than the location.
Yeah, they're like, leave, and I'll walk outside, and then they get all this activity. I'm like, well, this is stupid.
No, we've been on some adventures.
I don't see the idiot EVP here. I got a bust yours here. If you want me to play some?
Sure, yeah, go ahead.
I'm going to have some measure for everything, too, if you want.
Mm-hmm.
Me, if I tell you the name of the EVP, you can tell me where it's from. The first one is called Approach. I'll play it for you.
Okay. Okay, so that one was actually from a private residence that we did here in the area. And we were asking if there was anyone that was interested in talking with us, and we got the word approach. So we said thank you, you know, and we went about asking questions, and occasionally we were getting answers that did make sense. And then there were times where we wouldn't get anything. So it's one of those that when you get EVPs like that, like there was no editing, that was just raw audio that we had come through. It's a little different, but you're also working off radio stations. That's why AM is preferred over FM, just because of those frequencies. But it was right in sync with us asking if there was anyone in the room that would like to speak with us. And the female voice came through and said, approach.
Wow. Yeah, I'm going to back up for a second when you guys started doing residential cases.
Mm-hmm.
I used a software called Plan Hero.
We use Audacity.
Yeah, I mean, for like, for interviewing your, and then presenting evidence to, it's called Paranormal Log Analysis in the book. It has, you can put your EPs in it, you can put your footers in it, and then you present to your client then. It's pretty cool.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, we usually put a portfolio together once we've collected everything, and then sit down with the client, kind of go over what we've captured, what they would like to have done next. Mm-hmm. Some people just want to know what's going on. Others just want, you know, whatever it is there to be gone. So that really affects kind of our decision on how we move forward, or if we feel like at this point there is nothing there, but that we don't stop communication. If we don't think that there's anything there, it does not just stop there. The case still remains open, but inactive. So in the event that things were to start acting up again, they could reach out and we can reopen and review that case again to determine if there's something there. But if about a year goes by and we haven't heard from them, well, we assume that everything's good.
It's no longer a cold case, it's solved.
You're right.
All right. The next one, EP, is called Oh No. I'll play it home for you.
Oh, no.
Oh, there.
Okay, so that the first one was not one of our team members. The second one was.
Yeah, I heard the second one later. Do you see it twice, right?
Yeah, so the first male voice was not, because there was only one male with us at the time. And that's the second voice you hear. But the first one was not.
That's good.
Yeah.
The next one is They Made Me Sick. That's good. I heard that one. Pretty cool. You want temperature?
Yeah. It's really quiet in there. Is
I had the volume down. Sorry. Here, I'll play it now. Here we go.
You hurt me. How dare you?
We didn't mean to.
Going up and down the stairs is a lot for me since I got so sick.
Thank you.
but I'm getting better. I think they're also helping me heal now.
Hey, that's all louder.
Yeah. Yeah, that EVP in particular, there's a couple pieces in there that were EVPs, but it was super quiet and really hard to hear without enhancing it a lot. And then if you enhance it too much, then you start changing how it sounds and stuff. So that was definitely one of those. But there was a female voice, and it was just, I don't even, and again, it was a private residence. It was from the same location that said approach. So again, still a female voice. But I don't recall. I'd have to go back and listen to it a little bit better. What the three individual EVPs that were on there. But there were three pretty spaced out in between everything.
Oh. The next one is called Get Out.
That one's probably for you, Justin. Yeah. Yeah, so I'm going to try to think where that. I think that would have been a Valis Mines one.
It was either that or that one residence in what was it, Moselle?
It could have been.
Yeah.
But I feel, and
I got one hell of a feeling out there.
Yeah,
I think that was the Moselle residence.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah, because I think that was the one that the entire team heard, and we were all over the house.
That's right.
And Because there was that one room that made me super uneasy, especially when Crady went in there.
Yep.
And my hackles were raised pretty much.
It was in the back corner in that old breezeway that they blocked off.
I was in some fight mode there. That made me extremely uneasy for some reason. Instinctually, I just became very aware that there was hostility.
Yeah, and those are things on our team that we all pay attention to, because if we have any of our members that start feeling that way, start feeling nauseous, whatever, we'll remove them from the location so that they can collect themselves and make sure that they're okay before going back in, because we have to be on our game. We have to mentally, physically, emotionally be on our game, even spiritually. Otherwise, we can be affected. And Valis Mines was a perfect example of that. Tyler was not expecting to kind of be overtaken by that cold, heavy presence. But
that was the second time. The first one was Christina's.
Yep.
And that little bridge to the natural pool.
Yep.
Where you and, what was her name? Sam?
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys had to pull her off that bridge because she couldn't move.
Yep.
And I'm sitting over there at the pool thinking there's a turtle down there.
They like to pick on me.
Yeah, they do. She's our bait. She's the one that we send in first.
We always are one of those. Over the years, ours was the one female. We sent her in. They always like scared the hell out of her.
Yep, that's Tyler. My other half, depending on the location, he's that way too. He's very much so the skeptic. Here he's very new to investigating and the paranormal and all that, so this is new territory for him. So some of his experiences have been a bit overwhelming. Unfortunately, he got trial by fire because his first location was Valis Mines, which clearly has been one of our most active locations.
There's a lot that happened there.
There is, but it was like every time we went, something new happened.
Well, there's a lot of different issues that has happened at that location throughout history, because Valis Mines has been there for a very long time.
But the last time I was out there, we did help a spirit crossover, which was very nice.
Yeah,
the male in the house was not happy with us. He made it very evident on audio and in person that he was not happy, that he wasn't in control.
Oh, boo-hoo for that guy.
Wow.
Womp womp.
Yeah, and most of the group that was there were all females. There was only like one or two males, I think, there. The rest of the group were all females. So you have like all this feminine energy that is telling this very angry male spirit that you don't have control. And, you know, the other spirits, you can move on. Like, you don't have to stay here. He can't force you to stay. You need to move on. Your family, your loved ones are on the other side. It's okay to let go. And the more that I helped these spirits cross over, the angrier he got. Again, there's so much that Valis Mines alone to talk about.
Hang on, she's back.
I'm back. Yeah, I keep glitching. Every time I talk about Valis Mines, it does that.
Well, the first time we were talking about that private residence.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I mean, Valley Mines is one of those that we could just do a whole separate podcast on. And still have
There's
so much to say.
A lot of stuff for that one. Yeah. Oh, no. Christina's was the craziest one for me.
Now, when you almost knock somebody in their lights out, when it ran up on you.
Oh, that too. Jeez. No, I was talking about the two kids that disappeared. appeared.
Oh yeah, the ones that me and you saw. Yeah, and there was no sound.
That one.
Yeah, the circle of silence.
Yep.
It was like a dome. There were no bugs, no birds, no nothing. It was just quiet. And there was one in like the center of the dome on the ground. There was one perfect circle of dead. No grass, weeds, nothing. Just dead dirt. I was like, no, oh, that's weird. I could see the birds flying all around it.
You couldn't hear anything. Yeah, it was the most bizarre experience. Yeah.
There is no, other than the grass around that dead zone, there was like no life.
We need to go back. We keep talking about it, but we haven't. And we always do it in the middle of winter.
Well, Well, that's the easiest way to find it.
Right, because it is. It's back there, and when the trees are, it's very well camouflaged.
I had to follow a creek to find it. The first time we went.
We had to go through the creek.
Well, we had to follow the creek for a bit, and they were like, maybe it's on the other side. We traversed across the other side, and then we're like, kept walking. That's when I saw those flipping kids.
Yeah.
Disappeared out of nowhere. Like, I ran. I was going after them. Like, wait.
Yeah. But there was no sound of them running or anything because I was right behind them.
Yeah. No sticks, rocks, leaves, thud of footsteps, nothing.
Just ours.
And I can remember, too, one of them clearly was in a black shirt and blue gym shorts with black tennis shoes, sprinting. Watched him walk around this bend, gone. But then we ended up on a path. We followed that path that led us across the creek again, and we found Christina's. It was weird.
Mm-hmm.
And we were checking all the recordings, trying to see if something, we caught it on camera. Nope. Everybody was looking at trees and the ground. And of course, I'm sitting up front. I don't have a camera because I'm paying attention to all the wildlife. Trying to make sure we don't get like impaled by a tree or...
Right. And then I was behind them and everyone else was like further back because they hadn't quite caught up.
Yeah.
We kind of trailblazed our way through it.
And that's the same location that I kept getting called an idiot on.
Yep.
Just saying.
Yeah.
Something there. It reminded me of a child. Like, I don't know, 12. You know, when you were 12 and someone made you mad, you're like, you're an idiot. Yeah, that's kind of what it felt like.
You idiot, didn't catch me.
Yeah, idiot. I got you there.
Ooh. Good time.
What a comeback. The intelligence is really spiraling out of control. Such creative vision.
Right.
But,
I guess next EP is called I Turn It Off. I'll play it.
Did you turn off the recorder while we were gone?
Yeah.
Oh, that was because at the location, we had a recorder set up in a room, and then we left, trying to see if we can find any activity, voices, or whatever we could hear. When we came back in, it was just turned off. Like, the switch was off. Nobody else was in the house. We know that. We were all outside. We were just sitting there for, like, 30 minutes. Walk back inside, recorder's turned off. That beep you heard was us turning it back on.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, that location was hilarious because all of our stuff kept getting shut off. Batteries and everything were just fine. It just shut off. Somebody's phone got shut off.
I love it.
Yeah.
Like in their phone.
It was Tyler's phone. It was on Christina's house.
Yeah. My phone.
She got the video call from, and there was nobody there.
Yeah. It literally rang. I think it was like through Facebook or whatever. And I looked at my phone so confused because I had no signal. In Christina.
Yeah, there's reception. There's
nothing. And my phone was just ringing and I kept trying to answer it. And it wouldn't let me answer it. And then when it finally let me answer it, it went immediately. It turned off.
Yeah.
But I had like
I had like an 80% battery, so I was just like,
and you turn it back on, it was all fine.
Yeah, it was fine. It's just the weirdest thing.
Oh, it's just be thankful when your answer you hear a demon voice.
At least they're communicating. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe we can negotiate something. I don't know.
Yeah, I'll take right here.
Fuck it. Thanks.
Yeah. Next one is try this. Oh, hey. Try this.
Yeah. I don't remember where that one was taken at.
Which one?
Yeah, I'll put it in here.
I think that was Valley Mine again.
Was it?
Yeah.
I wasn't around for that one.
Yeah. I think that's the one that I went to that you weren't there.
Right.
Yeah, because I don't remember that.
I think that's when we were doing the old cabins and stuff.
Yep. Okay, yeah, because that was the one at the base of the hill.
Yeah.
Down by the natural spring well.
Mm-hmm. The same one where that deer bedded behind it.
Yep.
Oh, I remember that one.
Yeah.
Well, it was the same cabin, but I think it was a different time we went.
Yeah.
But next, yeah, next I think one, that was Valley Mine again.
Next one is Ethan. Ethan? Is that yours?
Yeah.
Okay.
Could you give us your name?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's right here.
We were inside, so that had to have been a private residence. That wasn't outdoors.
No, that was not outdoors.
Yeah, so that would have been a private residence.
I don't know if I was there for that one.
I don't think so.
Yeah, that might have been you were with, I can't remember her name. It's hard to remember names whenever I don't meet them in person.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember who I was with.
I still remember my name, so.
I'll remember your face for 100 years. I will not remember your name unless I use it a lot.
I think the last APC I have here is that I have some pictures actually if you want. Last APC I have is Evelyn, who is here.
That was mine.
Yeah. Was that outside?
That was outside.
Near the barn?
Yep.
Yeah. There were
There's like three different things going on in there. But yeah. That was Dallas Mines.
Yeah. Liam Richard, that's enough, baby.
Okay. Okay, let me see where I have some photos here, I think. I can show. And I think I have two GIF files. What the heck?
Yeah.
Alright. I hit the YouTube by accident. Alright. I'm going to present a couple of these. I'm just going to share the screen. And we'll start with the first one here.
Okay.
It's like a cemetery. So what?
Blackwater.
Don't hang up, buddy.
Our future junior investigator right there.
There you go. Hey!
Blackwater.
Yeah. Blackwater. Yep. Yeah, know exactly where that one's at.
Yep.
Is that Blackwater?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got angry.
Yeah, there was a lot going on. There was a lot of pinching and hair pulling and odd noises. And
Well, we had to be weird. That was a little weird because that was the first open investigation we did.
Yeah.
My anger didn't really stem from any activity. It just stemmed from the unmarked graves because it is a very old graveyard.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of just marker stones for graves for slaves and stuff. And
slaves were at the very end.
Yeah, I wasn't very excited about it. It was just really sad.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, there were dozens of these little marker rocks.
Mm-hmm.
No names, no nothing. It was just, here lies this dude.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of that is like dust and water particles and bugs. We're
outdoors.
Yeah, I mean, before people think that those are all orbs, they are not.
This was late spring.
Don't waste our orbs.
Right.
Probably pollen.
But, yeah.
That the flash will pick up anything.
Mm-hmm.
But, and you see all these nice little pristine, you know, gravestones and stuff. Yeah, no. That just kind of angered me quite a bit.
Yeah, because actually I think the ones that you're talking about are right behind that big one. I think that was looking.
No, they're to the right of that picture near the fence line.
I bet, okay.
There was one by the tree.
Because
to a little bit to the left in the back where you see that weird little, looks like a dead pixel, that blue square.
Yeah.
Yeah. Back there is where turning into open field.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To the right was the perimeter fence that led up to that private road that goes to it.
Yep.
That's where all those markers were. I think there are like 16 of them.
Yeah. It's been a minute.
Yeah, it was just sad. They actually kind of looked like that little stone you see right there in the center, but with no marking on it.
Huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was shitty.
Maybe they couldn't afford to get in grace.
It's not that.
It's a very, very small town. Actually, that is not too far from Valis Mines.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, Valis Mines altogether had like 5 cemeteries. Possibly 6.
Yeah. I have a few more here on the show. Yeah. Let's see this one. Alright. There we go.
Private residence. So this was before our team was together, but we were doing a private residence. A young girl, about 7, 8 years old, was being, in so many words, tormented. She was being affected. They had one of those old-style giant TVs. They're like super heavy. It takes 3 of you to lift it. It kept flipping off the dresser. It kept getting shoved off when nobody was in there. And she was seeing shadow figures. She was having night terrors, like she wasn't eating. It was just a really bad situation. And then come to find out that the people that owned the property prior had been dabbling in, so to speak, dark arts. They had underneath their home a pentagram set up and just unique writing and scribbling. Clearly there was some type of ritual done there. And then the home was on top of it, which the current owners at the time did not know that existed until we came across that. But we stayed in contact with this family for several months. But after we left and we did, you know, a cleansing and purification and just like covered everything, she ended up going back to school and was perfectly fine. After that, I think it was like a day or two later, like her entire demeanor had changed. She was bubbly and outgoing again. She was sleeping. She was eating again, which was becoming a major problem. So, we were pretty confident that we were able to help her and then, get rid of whatever was left over.
That's awesome. How you can get the help you want.
Mm-hmm. Hi, baby. Yeah.
There.
I just saw you, like 2 hours ago.
She a ham, huh? Gotta see if this works or not.
Sorry. I said every time he sees the phone, he's got to be in the camera shot.
I'm surprised Aramis isn't. Oh, it's because Jan closed the door. Artie's out there. Normally Artemis is in front of the camera.
Did you guys see it?
Oh, yep.
Alice Mind.
No, that wasn't.
That was Moselle.
Yep, that was Moselle.
That was private residence.
Because me and you were in the kids' room. We were sitting back to back. I was straight out. You have an EF meter on my right leg. Or my left leg, which is on the right side of the screen. And then the EVP recorder is on the other side. And I had my hands out to the side. My legs are straight out. So I was not moving. And I had notated that I felt a cold presence and somebody was touching my hand. And that clip that you're seeing of that EVP recorder, it wasn't sliding. It rotates. And in the actual video that we have, I know just very nonchalantly go, "Oh, my EVP recorder just moved." Just did not face it. And I think Tyler was recording, and he was like,
Crady.
Yeah, and he was I'm pretty sure I just caught that on camera. And sure enough, so that has been like one of our biggest.
That is a great catch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we were dealing with something not so nice there too.
Yep, that was that one that got very unsettled about.
No.
Yeah.
Location.
Yep.
No.
Yeah. I've got a few more here. So, see all for that. I had, you guys ever get out to Ohio for a chicken place like that? Sure, I got a few more pictures here.
I've sent you a lot of pictures since last July.
Yeah. I think I've written most of them here.
Bless you.
There we go.
Oh, yeah. Hotel Josephine.
Oh, yeah, I wasn't part of that.
No. This was in Kansas. Actually, their local news station was there with us. That's who you see.
Oh, yeah. That's cool. We had a place with...
Okay, Liam, that's enough.
Let's see what else I have. It's a more graveyard one here. Let's draw a couple more of this for you. And there were a little over time, but that mattered really to me.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Hi, buddy.
Okay. And let's see if I'm wired with
that. Hi. You know he's going to be the star of the show when people go back and rewatch this, right? We need to get a shirt for him. Okay, so that was Blackwell Cemetery. Yeah. Yep.
Oh, you can see them right there in the pictures if you see the lumps on the ground.
Yep.
There's two rows. Those are slave graves.
Okay.
That's what I was talking about. You can see the fence there on the left side of the picture. Those little rocks are the only markers there for those 16 to 20 people that have been buried there.
Hey, you guys, good stuff, you guys. That's cool. This one. Here's one.
Blackwater again.
Blackwater?
Oh, yeah. The weird puff of mist.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have no idea where that came from because there was no, it wasn't cold. Nobody was smoking. It was just there. Who took that one? Was that you, Natalie?
Yeah. Yeah, because there's another one that was taken the same night that showed the moment that I was helping a spirit there cross over, which I thought was pretty cool. But yeah, this came up.
Yeah.
Shortly before that.
Yeah, there was no one around you either for that one.
Nope.
The closest one, I think, was me, and I was probably a good 5-6 yards away.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's another one here of a mist.
Might be the one I was talking about.
Bear with me here. Yeah, I think it was probably it here. Right?
Yep.
Yep, that's the
literally
one.
Same exact spot from the other picture, turned to the right.
Yep.
Wow.
And hell, we argued on that one for a while if the lens got smudged for that. But no, lens was clean. Nothing was around, and it's obviously not, you know, a giant mass of pollen that looks like a bacteria.
Yep. No bug. No nothing.
Nothing. More picture here.
I guess my wife has disconnected.
I'm not surprised since you guys have to be up at 4 a.m.
Yeah, and Liam's gonna go down soon.
Yeah, if you need to jump off, you can.
Oh, there she is.
I don't know what happened there.
Oh, welcome back.
That looks like sand.
Oh, okay. Now that you said that, now I know where I was. That was taken in Kansas. I was just underneath a bridge where there had been a history of hangings and other rituals that were held there. It was a kind of like a creek bed, but this part was like a sandy bar underneath the bridge. And then the creek was just dry, so you could walk it up. But we had some interesting EVPs and stuff like this. Unfortunately, Kelly's not on here. Her and her mother, Sue, are on the team, but they've been doing a lot of traveling for investigations the last couple of months. But this was actually Kelly and mine's first investigation together. And it was kind of a trial run because we met up with another team. But we had only met for like the 5 minutes it took to drive there, and then that was it. and she just kind of stuck. So that was one of our first photos that we took.
Yeah. But thank God we got to Ohio. How far away Astro from Ohio?
So we're about an hour south of St. Louis, Missouri. So, I mean, it's a decent drive. I would have to look at the map because I really don't know.
What was the question?
How far he was away from us, Iowa? Ohio, sorry.
Ohio, yeah.
Well, I can tell you in one moment.
Probably at least 10 hours.
I would say more than an hour.
I'd like the other.
What, five, maybe?
Yeah.
8 hours and 1 minute.
That's just because traffic's good right now.
Yeah, you go through St. Louis, through Illinois, Indiana, and then you finally hit. And of course, you know, this is up by Ashley, where my GPS has taken me. Westfield, Ashley, Marengo, Fulton.
Yeah, I'm Pal, so it's all right.
So about an 8 hour drive.
Yeah.
There's a place called Poots Fountain of Elementary School. You ever hear that?
Mm-hmm.
Poots Town?
Yeah.
Yeah, we got the best evidence there of a basketball coming off a chair in the auditorium. So if you guys ever see a chance to go there, it's awesome. I have a video here. You want to see it?
Sure.
Real quick? Yeah. It's pretty cool.
I was going to say do a blue screen, yeah.
That has some force too.
Yeah.
It almost sounded like it was a little flat.
They were. Deflated. They can't really bounce them.
Yeah.
But if that's in a wheelster, old wheelster that we got, it's not a leather fucking seat that can roll for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was there two times. I'm going to get
back in. Yeah. That was a good camera shot, though. Yeah.
Was good. So, well, guys, getting past your kids' bedtime and mine.
Yeah.
I just can't. I can talk. I can't be guys back on later on the road too. So.
Yeah. Thank you for having us. It was a pleasure. A lot
of fun. Yep. Pleasure for me. So, sharing there once we get on. Maybe get on next time.
Absolutely. But,
So, guys, and thank you for I'll get you on again next time.
I'll
down the road. I had a lot of fun. So, good night, everybody. Happy hunting.